Hello, fellow humans. We all have trigger words that we associate with strong emotions or beliefs. Capitalism, socialism, communism, well-being, prosperity, freedom are just some of them. When I introduced the concept of economy for life, I was looking for words to describe an alternative to capitalism without triggering negative emotions. But is it possible to talk about anti-capitalism or post-capitalism without triggering negative emotions? Is it possible to suggest alternatives to capitalism that do not remind us of the failures of oppressive regimes such as the Soviet Union, its former satellite countries, China or North Korea? Yes, I think so. It is possible. It is necessary. Even though I am a solid supporter of degrowth, for example, I am aware that it is still unknown to many. At the same time, I think all agendas for a post-capitalist economic system must contain the principles put forward by degrowth, which are more social agency for all humans, increased well-being for all humans, an economy working within the limits of Earth, levels of production and consumption with a lower ecological footprint, that is within the biocapacity of Earth, a democratic planning of the economy in the spirit of social justice. Okay then, so let us ask ourselves, what is an economy? Many economists and textbooks complicate economic theory so much that they lose track of what an economy actually is. It is quite simple. The economy is that human activity that is using resources to satisfy needs. That activity is economizing resources. It allocates them to different kinds of activities that result in goods and services. It should not be more complicated than that. The core incentive of capitalism is capital accumulation. Here comes capitalism with a very specific design. What holds capitalism together and define its operations are three doctrines and the core incentive, which is profit. The doctrines establish the connections between property, power, and capital. They are proportionality, which translates into the one share equals one vote rule in corporations, dispossession, which is about appropriating property with or without consent in order to transform it into profit-making capital, and three, hierarchies, which is about the unelected leadership structures in corporations that leave no space for democracy at the workplace. If a capitalist enterprise does not accumulate capital, either by dispossessing some property that was not capital before, or through multiplication of existing capital, also known as economic growth, then this enterprise would not get started in the first place, or it would risk bankruptcy or acquisition by another enterprise. If you do not accumulate capital, you cannot operate in this economy. Even many cooperatives that are operated democratically by their workers or members struggle with this notion of accumulation because they risk being outcompeted by companies owned by shareholders. It is very difficult to run a business without the incentive of accumulation. In contrast with capitalism, the economy for life has sufficiency and well-being as core incentives. What are they? Sufficiency is the situation when the needs of humans are covered in order to provide for a decent and healthy life. Needs are requirements for a good life. Food, water, housing, education, healthcare are needs. Wants are psychological fads, whims, affectations, caprices that are not required for a good life. Wants are inventions by advertising. Wants signal status and position in hierarchies. An economy is supposed to allocate resources for needs, But not for wands. We are in an ecological crisis because wands have gotten out of control and have been severely monopolized by the ruling rich class. Well-being describes the quality of a good life. Well-being is more than just having access to basic needs, from healthcare to education. Well-being is about healthy social relationships, communities that run on mutual trust, deep care for the underprivileged, deep care for all forms of life, and living to the maximum natural potential of each individual. Running an economy for the purpose of creating sufficiency and well-being for all humans means reconsidering how property, power, and the means of production, also known as capital, are defined and how they influence each other. In the capitalist system, if you want to start a business, you would have to risk some of your property to do it. Or you would have to risk money by taking out a loan, which you may not be able to pay back if your business fails. These are the private and personal risks for doing a business in capitalism. In contrast, if many of these risks would be socialized, especially the financial one, then the business would not have to chase profit or risk bankruptcy. We would have public banks owned by communities and managed democratically to provide money to start a business. The community is the best group of people to judge whether a business serves human needs in that community or creates fake wants just to make a profit. Achieving sufficiency should be the lowest bar, the lowest standard for the purpose of an economy, and achieving well-being should be the highest bar, the highest standard. There are subtle consequences for this. When the elites hoard money and wealth and have a lavish lifestyle beyond reasonable thresholds for well-being, it means the society as a whole suffers. We are all chasing the limited resources of Earth. By definition, if some humans live in debauchery, owning several houses, owning several cars, sitting on millions of dollars in the bank or in stocks, then someone else lives in abject poverty. How do we know this is happening? Data shows, as a civilization, we are living already beyond the limits of the planet. If we raise the bar of both sufficiency and well-being for the unlucky and cut the excesses for the very lucky elites, then we can have an economy that works for the needs of everyone. How do we get from capitalism to an economy for life? Now that we know that capitalism only pushes people to accumulate capital, regardless whether that fits on planet Earth or not, now that we know we can live a good life with sufficiency and well-being instead of profit maximization, what do we do next? The problem in capitalism are the doctrines that keep it together, so we would have to dismantle them one by one. Instead of proportionality, we would have the principle of one human equals one vote in all matters that are economic. The consequences of this is that we would no longer need the stock market. Corporations and businesses would be converted to cooperatives that would be managed democratically. Instead of hierarchies, we would have elections and selections of managers at the workplace for a limited term based on competence and accountability. Top-down hierarchies at the workplace are deeply undemocratic and they should be abolished. Instead of dispossession, property will no longer be appropriated in order to become means of production without the full consent of all stakeholders. This should cover land that is protected by indigenous peoples, natural resources that are on common land, personal data that is harvested by big tech for profit, and much more. There should be full consent through the entire economic supply chain. Targeting these specific doctrines, while having the objective of sufficiency and well-being, is how we get from capitalism to the economy for life. Thank you for watching. Join us and speak truth to power. Speaking against the elite establishment is hard work and involves many personal risks. This is why it is very important that we build communities. In these hard times, try not to be alone. Join groups or create groups that work for a better world of unity, freedom, and solidarity, not hate, exclusion, and isolation. If you can, please support me on Patreon or Ko-fi so I can pay my bills. Increase the peace. This system would properly replace capitalism. Let us call it the economy for life. Economic growth cannot remain the core objective.